This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're just catching up with Dempster during the break here. Dude, first of all, thanks for coming on. Nice to meet you in person here. We were talking a little bit about the A-Rod stuff. Let's just dive right in. Do you have a problem all these years later? Like, it's the first thing I think of. You had a good major league career, but I think people hear Ryan Dempster, they think plunking A-Rod in that whole thing. Do you have an issue with that you're known for that?
Definitely a lot of people. Well, like, people always want to know. Like, I think it's funny when they're like, did you do it on purpose? I'm like, did you watch me pitch the rest of the game? I was clearly good with my control. You know, like, it was not an issue. So, yes, it was. But I don't have a problem with it. You know, at the time, like, it was what it was. You know, I felt like I was standing up for something bigger than, you know, just throwing at a guy. And, like, I was also, like, doing it respectfully. I didn't throw it to anybody's head.
Keep it in the right spot.
Yeah, I was trying to break that little elbow guard, which was on there, which I hit.
But
I didn't throw very hard, so it kind of just fell off of him.
Did you get any blowback from other big leaguers because of what you said, standing up for the steroid stuff? And obviously, he wasn't the only one to use PEDs. Did you ever get any blowback from other big leaguers about that?
No, I think at first, not much, actually, to be honest with you. You know, but that, I think, you know, there was a lot of people who felt that way. The funny story about that, Big Poppy was really mad about that. He was really mad for multiple reasons. Obviously, him or Alex are friends. And I was scared because he was in the dugout yelling at us. And I was like, hey, you know, we always call him Big Pun, like the rapper. I'm like, hey, Pun, I got to talk to you, man. Come down the tunnel. So we go down the tunnel. I go, listen, that had to happen, you know, and you're not going to get hit, and nobody's going to get hit, and everything's going to be all right. Like, I didn't throw it at his head. We're all good, man, okay? And, like, the most important thing is our team right now. And he just, like, stopped for a second from being very mad, and he was upset. And, like, it's just him and I in the tunnel now, by the way. And I'm like, whoa, you know, this could go sideways real quick. And he gave me a big hug, and he just said, okay, I understand what you're saying. I got you. And we were everything was good after that, and then I had the best paid 5-day vacation anybody ever got in baseball.
That's amazing. Yeah. You got a lot of high fives, too.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
What was it, I mean, aside from the PED stuff, like, and we're not going to do all Alex here. I obviously want to jump around Ryan Dempster with us here, BT and Sal. But he was such an easy target. And for such a great player, he just made his life so hard. Like, why was he such a pain in the ass on so many levels?
I don't know about all that. I think that isolated incident for me was, and you're right, tons of people did him, right? So I didn't throw at everybody that did him.
Right.
But given the circumstances of what went on with the suspension and appeal and a suspension, and, like, we remember there was other times where that happened, right? And it was judge me going forward. And it kept happening. And then when you decide to have this lawsuit stuff that goes on, well, what happens there, right? That's our union. That's all of us as players. We now have to represent that. We all make mistakes. I've made mistakes in my own personal life. I've made mistakes in my professional life and things like that. And when we have those, we have to basically sometimes just accept what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel like there was this acceptance. There was this denial. And it wasn't about PED use. It was about the behaviors afterwards of like, dude, are we good, man? Like, we're okay that you, not okay that you did them.
Right, but we understand.
Yeah, and like, can we just take it and then move on and go from there? And I felt like I was trying to make a statement of like, aha, see, like, this is happening. Let's just take the punishment, the suspension, and then move forward and keep playing and do whatever. Because that now you're playing within the rules, and I just felt like there was a bigger kind of episode to it all, and I just wanted to just kind of say, like, I'm not cool with all that.
Good background. You think it's completely wiped out from the game now?
Yeah, I not completely. I think there's a few guys hanging on that will still do that. I think there's a couple different elements. I think that young guys nowadays aren't necessarily taught to pitch inside like we were, so the command of the inside part of the plate isn't quite there. The guys are throwing very hard, and at 60 feet 6 inches, when you throw 100 miles an hour and you're trying to throw inside, you can miss by this much. And you're going to hurt somebody really bad. And I think, you know, and then you see the swing approach, right? Hitters, they don't care that part of the plate. I always said the outside part of the plate's mine, right? So if I throw a fastball down and away and it's painted on the outside corner and you hit a home run into the right field bullpen,
mm-hmm.
I got to do something about that.
Yep.
If I hang a slider and you hit it over the wall 100 feet and you pimp a home run, cool. I made a mistake. But if I'm going to execute and I got to eat too. Like, my family's got to eat too, right? So, like, you can't have both. And I think sometimes there's a little bit of I want both nowadays where, like, I can hit that pitch out too. And then you see guys who, like, full-on take a swing, and it's like, yeah, and then the pitch is riding in, and then they're like this, and it hits them, and then they're looking out like the pitcher threw at them. I'm like, dude, you almost swung at it. Like, you were taking a full hack, and it missed by 4 inches. Like, there's a difference, and I think understanding the difference is where we're a little lost. Like, when, oh, that guy just threw at that guy because, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, don't throw at somebody's head ever. Like, that's, I've hit guys in the head on accident. It's the worst thing ever. Like, that's somebody's life and their career, and they have families and kids, and like, that's awful. You know, you never want to see that. But like, let's be honest, aside from that, anybody ever miss games for getting hit in the shoulder or the quad or, you know what I mean? Like, the butt cheek. Even the back, like, it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, it does. I got you.
I've been hit. Ramon Martinez threw one at him spring training, right at Pedro's brother, right at my face. I squared around a bunt, and he threw right at my head. I know it was on purpose.
And it hit you in the head?
It hit me in my
Well, pitch. How do you know it was on purpose?
Jeez.
I could tell. It really? Was like, yeah, what do you, like, he was, like, mad. He was having a little bit of a rough outing, and I was getting a sack bunt down. And, like, he had good command all game. That's my point. And I square around a bunt, and this one's at my forehead.
Oof.
So, like, I know what it's like to be thrown at. It hurt a lot. I stayed in the game and pitched. Like,
you ever talk to Pedro, you know, about that,
like,
around here?
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Now guys get hit. Like, sometimes, like, those are grown men. Let him choose whether or not he wants to stay in the game. The trainer, get back to the dugout. Stay over there. I got this. Like, I can decide whether or not I'm hurt. But don't come out and go, hey, how's your arm feel? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Your arm hurts?
Yeah.
Your arm hurts, right? Your arm hurts. Let's go get some ice on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no possible way you can keep playing with your leg that got that bruise on
you
there,
got a little
man.
Bruise there.
Yeah.
You got to,
like,
sit
that's
down,
backyard
buddy.
Baseball, man. That's what we did as kids. We had fun. It got hurt. You could rub some dirt on it. Wherever that saying came up, by the way.
Rub,
like,
some dirt.
It's like the only place you ever get hurt where they're like, rub some dirt on it. Like, you know, like, if you were to wipe on your out on your bike as a kid, nobody goes, hey, just rub some dirt on it and hop back on. Never happens.
Yep.
So, but we can do that in baseball, which is a lot of fun.
We love it. We're old school guys, you're speaking our language here. How about the minimization of starting pitching? At least the I was going to say perceived, but it's really not perceived. It's reality that starting pitching has been minimized in today's game. I'm trying to evolve to understand it. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, I think it's been minimized for a couple of different reasons. One, I think COVID really brought that to the attention, right? We had a shortened season, so we had shortened spring training. The next year we had a lockout, so we had shortened spring training. And then guys threw less innings, so to keep that, we were protecting, right? We're protecting against guys getting hurt. We can keep them healthy if we protect. We can keep them healthy if we protect, yet the numbers aren't saying that. If we're going to be in a data-driven world, guys are getting hurt more than ever. One of the biggest things we can do is throw, long toss, throw, but we want to chase velocity. So there's a philosophy that long tossing will weaken your arm in a sense of velocity. It might strengthen your arm as far as keeping you healthy, but why was it that so many of these guys, good pitchers, Hall of Famers, guys who threw 100 miles an hour like Nolan Ryan or Randy Johnson, Tom Seaver, all these guys, why were they able to do this for so long? But we think that it can't be done now. I think that sometimes I feel like we got Porsches and Ferraris and Lamborghinis and Bugattis like Paul Skeens, and we're just taking them around the cul-de-sac. It's like, hey, good ride. Bring it back in. We don't want to run out of gas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let them run on the Autobahn.
Let them eat, right?
Yes.
Get that thing up to 100, 150, whatever it is.
Train for it. And I just feel like it's been a combination, an evolution of everything that's happened. We had this kind of like monitoring the third time through the lineup. Instead of teaching how to get through the third time through the lineup, we just said, well, you can't. And then on a random August Tuesday, we're like, okay, go for it. And then the guy doesn't. We're like, see, can't get through the third time through the lineup. It's like, well, yeah, we haven't given them that opportunity or taught them how to do that. And I think that there is a possibility with so many guys around the league that could pitch 32 starts a year and pitch 200 innings and be highly successful if we redevelop that and allowed that to happen. And maybe we'll get back there. I don't know.
You know, we were talking before we started, and coming from Canada, coming down to the States, you said your line was, I was playing perfect game before PG existed. You were playing a lot of games, and you guys were really good, had a lot of players drafted out of high school. But the pitchers today, again, about chasing the velo and really abandoning a long toss because it's not an explosive, violent motion. To your point, labor might feel good, but you're not throwing 99 or 100. To me, if you're teaching a young pitcher how to pitch, hit spots and have a changeup. What's your advice?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the I'm probably with most of my colleagues here at the studio and a lot of people that the immense amount of travel ball before kids are developed is unfortunate, right? Like, we feel like we need to do that. But I've seen plenty of kids who don't really play much travel ball, and at 15, 16, they start to mature. Like, that's when I was started to do that, 15, 16, 17. Now you're starting to grow into a man, and you can withstand that length of a season. You know, like when we were kids, it's like you played until, you know, the end of May. And then, by the way, you had to make the All-Star team. Your parents couldn't pay for you to get on an All-Star team.
Amen.
You had to make it, and then you made it and you went to a couple tournaments, and then that was it. And then the summer came, and then you went and played another sport. And guess what happens when you play another sport? If you're a catcher and you're a stud catcher, and now all of a sudden you go play soccer, guess what's going to get really good? Your footwork is going to get amazing. Your lower half coordination to be able to separate your upper and your lower half is going to get better. You're not going to forget how to catch. You're not going to forget how to hit. So now you play these other sports. And so I think that, like, some of that stuff, you know, can really, really help these kids, you know, where it's just what we're doing, you know. And I think, like, teaching them how to pitch and teaching them how to do those kind of things can really, really help. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because I do remember playing all those games,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't do it until I was in high school, junior, senior in high school, rather than like 10U travel ball, you know, that the parents don't want to miss out. You know, mm-hmm. it's become a social environment for them,
because
too, right?
College has become so expensive, they see a free path to college. That's the problem.
Sometimes. We all have this illusion sometimes of, like, do I want my kid to be the best 12-year-old? Or do I want him to be the best 18-year-old? I want my kid to be the best 18-year-old. I don't want to see my exit velo of my 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't do anything for me. Like, I could have none of those. I could take all these computers and throw them off, and I can watch a Little League game and go, that kid's really good. That kid's really good. I don't need you to reaffirm it with some sort of statistic.
Yeah.
You can just tell by the way they play. Can they throw the ball across the diamond? Who clean fields the ball? Who's got good footwork? Who doesn't strike out? Who throws strikes? And you're talking about pitching, like, we're deep. If I go out there in an inning and I throw a 1-2-3 inning on four pitches and I get three ground balls to the shortstop, and another guy goes out and throws 32 pitches, gives up three runs, but strikes out the side, you know who has got greater value right now?
Right.
The guy who struck out the side. And I think,
backwards.
What are we trying to do? Well, let's try and win games, and however we got to get there.
Yep.
And I think we've lost a little touch with that, the importance of what is the most important thing, outs and winning the game, especially the big leagues.
BT and Sal on the Fan live in Studio 42, MLB Network on this baseball eve. Ryan Dempster sitting in with us right now. He co-hosts MLB Network's Intentional Talk with Kevin Millar and Sierra Santos. Have you ever thought about being a coach?
Yeah, I have. I wanted to coach my son. He's now a freshman at University of Arizona, not playing baseball anymore, but he played high school baseball. I thought it would have been fun. A tough task. When you are a former Chicago Cub in Chicago and he's growing up, it was not easy. I do have another son coming up that maybe as he gets older, you know, and I get a little bit further away from of being played, maybe I would take that on. I love it. I love having camps. I love going and working with kids and, like, talking through them about the mental side of it all and just letting them be. I thought it'd be great. I want to hold a camp, and the parents, you can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go drop them. Go, I don't know, go drink mimosas or something. Go play golf.
Get them out of your hair.
Go do a yoga class. Go for a walk. go have lunch together. I don't care. But, like, let the kids just play. And then on top of it, if I'm a coach, you know what I'm going to do? Hey, guys, I got to run to Home Depot. You guys run practice. Then I'm going to go sit on top of a hill, and I'm going to watch those kids run their own practice like we did as kids. That's when you learn how to do things and how to be leaders. And then you can see on the team who takes charge, who needs a little bit of help and a little bit of guidance, and just guide them in a positive, impactful way nonstop. Never about me.
You wouldn't want to do it in the big league level? To me, I'm hearing and feeling passion, intelligence, a different way of thinking. Like, I mean, it would be a perfect fit in my mind. You ever have that opportunity or think about getting back into the big leagues in some kind of capacity?
I was asked before about being a pitching coach, and at the time of my life, the stage of my kids and where they were at, it was probably not the right time. But I would think about it. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love it. I was a guy, you know, especially once I got Greg Maddux as a teammate, who just fell in love with all aspects of the game. You know, not just pitching. You know, how position players are lining up and where they're going, and watching hitters' routines and guys on the base pass, and see if I could find a pitcher tipping pitches. All that kind of stuff. Whatever I could do to get the competitive edge that we would try to do. So. Yeah, maybe. I love it. I love the game of baseball. I mean, you can clearly tell that. I don't turn off our show and then go do something. I turn off our show and then our group text message. You see that play? Did you see that game? Did you see that home run? Oh, my God, he hit it out of the stadium. Like, we're watching baseball all the time, and that's been my whole life since I've been a four-year-old kid.
You communicate it really well. All right, let's put a bow on it here. Ryan Dempster with us, BT and Sound on the Fan. So, kind of open-ended. Take us wherever you want. Yankees and Mets, incorporating all the good and all the questions, you know, little Subway Series possibility here. I mean, how good could these teams be?
Oh, yeah, definitely a possibility. I think you look at both teams, the way they're constructed and how good they are. Both teams, I think, are going to the playoffs. So, you know, whether that's winning their division, I don't know yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got tough divisions, right? You look at the Mets, Phillies are going to be really good. I think those are the top two teams. I think the Braves are lighter in the starting pitching aspect. You got injuries that you have to try and come back. So those two teams, to me, are going to be both playoff teams, and who wins the division. And then the Yankees, you know, to me, it would be a no-brainer. But also
no-brainer?
You have injuries, right? So now,
yeah. If you Boston got better?
Yeah, Boston got better. I mean, I'm not winning the division. I'm just mean going into the playoffs.
Okay.
I say they get to the playoffs. Now, where are you come September? And as we've seen throughout these years, when you have wild cards, it's almost like truly like a – there used to be this sprint from the beginning in baseball where it was – win your division, go to the playoffs, you're the best team, right?
Yep.
The longevity plays out, and that still plays, but it is like watching a horse race. You're like, if you whip that horse too fast and you get going, and all of a sudden, boom, you tire out. How do you maintain the middle of the months, the hot months, and get through that? That's your turn three, and now come down the stretch. Those teams that are playing well come down the stretch, whether that's a wild card team or a division winner, you know, then now all of a sudden, like, yeah, I look at the Dodgers. Otani could have come back and pitched last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to. Why? They had massive amount of depth. They had guys who were performing. But, you know, if you don't have that, you can be a super team. Great, cool. You got to win games, and you got to win a 5-game series, and then you got to win a 7-game series, and all those other teams that you're playing are all very good baseball teams. Now you're not so much a super team. When you got 8 teams left, and then you got 4 teams left, those teams that you just kick their tail every day, they're not there anymore. These are really good baseball teams. And I look at it and I sit there and say, yes, I think the Dodgers and the Mets are the two best teams in the National League.
Mm. Wow.
And so one of those two teams, you know, I think, you know, on paper right now as we start the season, could be playing in the World Series. And I don't see any reason why the Yankees, you know, especially if they can, you know, fix some of the health stuff and guys come back, Giancarlo comes back and stuff like that, that you can get to a place where they get to the World Series again too and have a Subway Series. It would be a lot of fun.
Give me the biggest threat in the American League to the Yankees.
Man, that's a good question. I would say, you know, probably I look at a team like Detroit. You know, they're young, and they got a taste, and they got good pitching.
Schoolball is just nasty.
Yeah, and that division is good, man. Like, you look at Kansas City, by the way. Kansas City surprised a lot of people last year. They're not going to surprise anybody. They got an MVP candidate who most people think is going to win it this year in Bobby Witt Jr. And like you said, Boston got better. Boston got a lot better, like a lot, starting pitching-wise, to get Garrett Crochet, to get Walker Buehler on a one-year deal. They got a lot better, and they got these young, talented players. And these young, talented players nowadays, the thing I think that is so impressive about them, When I came up, I was so scared. Like, I'm in Binghamton, New York, walking to the field to start against the Mets. And next thing you know, I'm pitching, you know, in the big leagues against the Pirates and Brian Giles and Jason Kendall.
Like, good players, yeah.
You know, like, I'm scared. Like, I wasn't doubling. These guys have been playing, we mentioned perfect, they've been playing in big league stadiums since they were, you know, in high school. They've traveled all around. They've competed against the very guys that are now going to compete against. They are afraid of nothing, and they believe that they be there. They should be there. And when I look at, you know, a team like that, when you got guys like Roman Anthony and Chris Campbell, they got these guys. They believe that they're going to be there. Now they got to, you know, make the adjustments that come about being a big leader. But I think that Boston Red Sox are probably within the division even more so than the Orioles. I think they're going to be those two teams, kind of that fun little rivalry that we had back in 2013 and back in those days when Boston and New York are good and they're playing against each other.
We miss it.
Nothing better.
Nothing better. It's so much fun.
Yeah, Yanks Orioles last year just didn't have the same.
It's never going to feel the same.
I want a little Red Sox this year. Yeah. Red Sox Yankees this year. On that last one for you, you do any signings with A-Rod? Have you seen him since?
No, I haven't. He sent me a nice birthday message. Millar made it last year. He got him to send a nice little birthday message in the compilation we did for the show. But you know, like you know, I know he's we'll run into each other somewhere at some point, and I'm sure it'll be interesting.
So you still haven't seen him at all these years later?
Not in person. Yeah.
How about that? I figure you know, so you guys make some money off the signing, sign a little picture of you hitting him and him having some fun with it. Hasn't happened yet.
I don't think A-Rod's worried about any extra money.
That's true.
That's but Alex, if you're listening and you want to do a signing, I'm in. You know, I'll take whatever that is. You know, I charge whatever he charges.
This guy looks like a UFC fighter. I don't know. My money might be on him on a down low, on a sneak tip.
A-Rod's soft.
I don't think A-Rod's much of a fighter. Varitek punched him.
I'll roll with Dempster. Come on, man. You heard the interview. All right, check him out. Make sure you check him out. Ryan Dempster, MLB Network's Intentional Talk with Kevin Millar and Sierra Santos, weekdays at 4 p.m.